Stand by. Your Steve Jones Show audio is loading now. SteveJonesShow.com podcasts are sponsored by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Friday is finally here. Time now to go to Brewers Outlet. Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. You need to stock up for the tailgates. Whether it's Penn State or any other game you're going to, you need to stock up for the tailgates. So you go to Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. They're not called the beverage supermarket for nothing. I mean, you just stock up on any beverage you want. Did I mention beer? They have plenty of that and much more and many other beverages. Snacks, you name it. All the snacks you need for any tailgate to get ready for the big football weekend. And on top of that, they also have fresh roasted peanuts, the pickle bar. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Well, I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. We'll be talking with Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Network, getting you ready for games this weekend that include Notre Dame and Michigan. So we'll talk about that. And, of course, Penn State and Eastern Michigan. Matt Shepard's the play-by-play voice of Eastern Michigan. We'll be talking to him. He's also the play-by-play voice for Michigan basketball. He's saying, I think we've heard him on the show before, but where? And that's because when they played in the national championship game, we had him on the show that day. A good friend of mine, and great respect for him. Coming up in the show today, Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, you have questions.
I always have questions. They start with, is there anybody that can run the football right now that's healthy and not fumble it on every third play? Question number two, if not, can the line protect Roethlisberger, who's going to have to throw the ball an awful lot to win? Question number three, do I really want to watch this game, or will it just make me sad?
You're playing Tennessee. If
I know.
You lose that game,
I'll
if you
sad.
Lose that game, no, then I would quit as a fan.
I'll become a Fran free agent again. I already tried that
yes.
for baseball. Nobody wanted me.
Oh, that's not true. Jacksonville would want you.
Even my friends who are Pirates fans said, please don't root for the Pirates. That's bad.
No,
right
I
now.
Mean, no, Jacksonville would take you.
Really?
I mean,
are they they're that desperate, huh?
Yeah, I mean, really. They look at you as they think you're coming from a winning organization. they want you around.
Season tickets are only $15, and that's not per
Come
game.
On. Yeah. They show red zone in the stadium, too. I think they would fly you down to games.
They show red zone in the stadium?
Yes.
Really?
They show red zone in the stadium at Jacksonville.
Like where? I mean, in the concourse?
The concourse.
Areas? No
yeah.
kidding.
Yes, they do.
Wow. That's bad. That's bad. Our team is so bad, we have to show everybody else's scoring opportunities. Oh, boy.
They're trying to keep people engaged in what's going on in the league, and they don't want people to miss anything. And that is part of the new wave of marketing. They know that the home experience, look, we all live it, each one of us. 50-inch flat-screen TV, HD. I mean, look at the game between the Broncos and the Ravens last night. Any football fan sat down and watched that. It was like being there. Sound is crisp and clear, right? You know, you can see if there's a thread on the end of Manning, okay? That's how well you can see now.
I love watching the safeties cheat up now because of the wider camera.
You can see all of it now. And that's the we've talked about this repeatedly, how they have to change in stadium. And that's one of the reasons where the Big Ten took a huge step, which was so smart, very proactive. They're going to show all the replays in the stadium. Like, you can't deny the people something the people at home are getting. I mean, the replay system's a backup system anyway, so you're not inciting a riot by showing them the play that they're reviewing upstairs. Hey, really?
All right, I got you. I just don't know if I can root for a team whose quarterback is Blaine Gabbert right now. And he may not even be the starter, depending on what happened, if he's back yet.
Look, you're going to a team that A, wants you, and B, has nowhere to go but up.
Well, that's a great point. It can't get any worse. You're right.
You can grow together. Now, it's going to take you 10 or 15 years. But, all right, today's show brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Tailgate in style. Reagan Street in Sunbury is your first stop. Brewers Outlet. Time now for Inside Penn State Athletics, courtesy of Learfield Sports.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout.
Like a Ford Fiesta four-door sedan, SEL, $11,995. 2006 Pontiac Solstice two-door convertible, super low miles, only $15,521. A one-owner 2011 Hyundai Sonata 2.4-liter hybrid for just $17,387. 2012 Ford Econoline cargo van, fully serviced, $18,996. 2010 Ford Explorer Sport Track 4-door, $24,352. And a 2011 Lincoln MKX with a 6-year, 100,000-mile warranty, just $34,882. Call 888-536-8017.
All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout. 24-7 at sunburymotors.com, at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Game weekend is upon us. We'll be talking with Rick Pizzo of the Big Ten Network in just a few minutes, which we're looking forward to very, very much. It's also a big high school football night across the area. And, now, Kevin, you've got one tonight. You're going to Mifflinburg this evening to get Shikellamy and Mifflinburg getting kicked off this evening at 7, airtime 6:30 here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Yes, just spent a little time looking things over again yesterday and today. And Mifflinburg has thrown the ball quite a few more times than I think a lot of people expected last week against Selins Grove, completing 66% of his passes, including a touchdown, and distributed the ball quite well over about five different receivers. So it'll be interesting for the Braves secondary, and Braves have a change tonight offensively that we'll talk about a little bit later on that I think will make the Mifflinburg defense have to rethink things as well.
It's all those game one to game two adjustments that are so intriguing. And we're looking forward to that game coming up tonight.
You know, one of the things I've heard people talk about, and you've said this many times, that you're not as bad as you thought you were, or you're not as good as you thought you were after until you get a chance to look at the film. And that was the case, I think, with Shikellamy. I don't think that I think they felt really bad Friday night with the game, but then when they looked at things, like, you know what, move the ball well, defensively played well, take out the 105 yards and penalties and a couple of turnovers, and it's a different ball game.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, that is a big part of this. A big part is there's too much panic in a loss, and there's too much euphoria in a win. Now, so you look at it and you realize, geez, if I could change three or four plays, and the key is to make those three or four plays change in your favor. Can you do that? Because what's happened in the 24/7 sports cycle, a couple of interesting things have happened. Number one, when you look at winning, I think that winning brings with it two things. I think in a lot of cases, winning is underappreciated now and expected, which then brings about the other part. People don't realize how hard it is to win. What should be incredibly rewarding is now today incredibly underestimated by people. People underestimate how hard it is to win a game. And I think that they, I think that's the part that that people don't have a complete appreciation of. You know, again, that's why I remember years ago, somebody was talking about the regular season college basketball is, I don't know, worthless. How about that? And people
I've
have
never
been,
said
have
worthless, pa- but yeah, I mean, I've had that thought, not worthless, but yeah.
Well, and as someone who does Penn State basketball, I can assure you in no uncertain terms that the regular season has incredible value, because I've watched regular seasons determine whether or not I was broadcasting an NCAA tournament or not. In 2009, I watched a regular season passion play play out in front of me, where the euphoria one night of beating Illinois on a last-second shot was then replaced by the disappointment of a basketball team losing in double overtime at Iowa, and then people ultimately thinking that that cost Penn State the NCAA tournament, to then watching a team close strongly in the regular season in 2011 and then winning three straight in the Big Ten tournament, Indiana, Wisconsin, and Michigan State, respectively, to get to the NCAAs. So I've seen great value in the regular season. And when we start devaluing regular seasons, games, and so forth, I think we're losing sight of games. But we lose sight of how hard it is to win.
The other side of that coin is not every loss is a season-ending loss. You know, like I'll give you an example. Last week, I know there were a lot of disappointed Chickalamy fans because there was a lot of optimism around this team and just didn't get the outcome they were expecting. But it is sure. Week one.
And that's what I've seen in larger schools, coaches' jobs on the line in high school. You know what the biggest determining factor in the success of your high school football season is?
How many kids graduate?
Who was born that year?
Oh, the biggest factor in how good you are, right.
Yeah, who was born in a particular year? Do you hit the jackpot and some really good players were born all in 19? I don't know. I'll subtract 18 from whatever this is. 1995. Okay? Who was born in 1995 in the Valley? Or who moved there that was born in 1995? There'll be coaching jobs determined. There'll be seasons determined this fall for 2031 based on who is born in 2013. That's how you determine who wins in high school. The type of individuals that are born in 2013 will determine how 2030 and 31 play out. That's the biggest determining factor. For the most part, you don't have dunderhead coaches. You have very good coaches. Todd Tilford's a really good coach. there's no magic wand that makes any of this stuff happen. Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Network, coming up next. We'll knock it around nationally in a few moments. Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. It's time to party, people. It's the weekend.
Isn't there a football game this weekend that you might need some supplies?
You have to tailgate right. Beverages, did I mention beer? And snacks, fresh roasted peanuts, the pickle bar. Wow. One stop, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. The entire valley should be going there to stock up for the weekend. You need to. Okay? I'm at the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And I had to have a checkup this morning. All right.
You had to have a checkup?
So, well, every 4 months I have to be checked.
Oh, okay. All right.
The type 2 thing.
Right. You need a lube oil and filter change.
Yeah. I plus, they do have this wellness thing here at Penn State, which is like, you sit there and go, you what? So I took care of that. So they did the blood pressure.
Oh, no. Did they find some?
And I thought of you right away because the PA looks over and says, "Whoa!" I said, "Whoa!" I said, "Well, what?" She says, "Your blood pressure." I said, "That's what about it?" She says, "104/70." I said, "So are you in a coma?"
They had to check for a pulse just to make sure.
Like, so I thought of you right away. I said, "He'll kill me. he'll kill me."
104.
Yeah, it's kind of low. Huh?
I have never 104. That absolutely amazes me. I can't 104.
Sorry.
I mean, the last time I checked, I was in the 150s. I was about 150.
So
yeah, but I'm getting help. Mine's chemically induced 150.
Oh, no.
Wait a minute. That didn't sound good.
That didn't sound good at all.
Maybe I should rephrase
that. Today's world. All right. Well, on that note, let's bring in Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Network. Rick, my good friend, how are you?
Steve, how are you, my friend? Always good to hear your voice. It tells me that it is officially football season in Happy Valley.
Same thing with you, Rick. Last time I talked with you, you were going to play two of the greatest golf courses on the face of the planet. It had to be a great experience to play those two great courses that are ranked among the top 50 in the world.
Well, and they came on the heels of the Coaches versus Cancer event at Penn State, which is something I've been a part of for the last 5 or 6 years, and such a great event and such a great cause. And to be able to go from that event to then go play Baltusrol on Saturday and Pine Valley on Sunday, I would say that was one of the better weekends I've had in 2013.
Yes, I would say so, and a lot of people, I think, would envy that. One of the themes this week that you talked about on the air on BTM were the interesting comments of Brady Hoke, who seems to understand and embrace the Notre Dame-Michigan rivalry, and Brian Kelly. I'm not sure what his approach was.
It's really interesting. You know what, Steve? I think he's taking the corporate line from a football tack. I mean, Notre Dame has decided that they're going to have these connections with the ACC, so they have responsibilities to play teams within the ACC. I think you read between the lines, and what Brian Kelly is saying is, I would sure rather play a game against Wake Forest than I would against Michigan, because it's a likely win, and it's a chance for us to stay in the national title hunt. He's never going to come out and say that, but you read between the lines, that's what he's saying. And meanwhile, Brady Hoke says, ask any college football fan in the country what they're going to be watching Saturday night at 8 o'clock. And what is it? It's Notre Dame and Michigan, and that alone makes it a rivalry.
Exactly right. And this goes back. This is a longstanding thing at Notre Dame. When Penn State got into the Big Ten, they wanted to accelerate the process to get into the conference, Rick, because the original talk was Penn State would start playing football in 95.
Right.
Well, in order to get into 93, they needed to move some things around. Well, they talked to some of the Eastern partners who then moved things around. Notre Dame called Penn State and said, we're more than willing to change. So this hasn't changed, Rick. Nothing's different.
And listen, they could keep these games on the schedule if they want to, but they feel other quote-unquote traditional rivals that they had to keep, Navy. That's historically been an easy win for Notre Dame. Of course, there was a couple of hiccups a couple of years ago. But USC, same thing. USC is on a downward trend right now. So let's keep them on the schedule as well. Listen, anybody who tries to tell you that this is not Notre Dame realizing that in a new college football playoff system, playing non-conference games against easier opponents keeps you around longer has not been paying attention to where college football is headed.
And they have more flexibility, Rick, than anybody, because while the Big Ten starting in 16 will have three openings in the schedule, Notre Dame is obligated to 5 ACC games, which means they have 7 openings in the schedule.
Listen, if you can find openings to go and fly to Dublin, Ireland and play non-conference games, you can find an opening for a rival like Michigan. And all due respect to Brian Kelly, this is not a regional rivalry. This is a national rivalry in a game that I think if you polled 95% of the people across the country would tell you, yes, Michigan and Notre Dame are rivals flat out.
No question about that. Next part is, you go through the highlights all the time. We know what the tradition of the Big Ten is in the 60s and 70s. When you look at what Nebraska does, what Bill O'Brien does, what Ohio State does, now what Brady Hoke does, how wide open this league is really since Joe Tiller came in and changed some things. How exciting is this conference in terms of how dynamic it can be and entertaining to watch?
Well, Steve, I think the most exciting thing about it, honestly, is that you look at these offenses and take Wisconsin out of the picture with that just basically jam it down your throat offense. You look at a lot of the rest of these schools and you say, boy, they all look kind of the same, but they all have nuances because Indiana's not really playing the spread. They're playing the pistol. A couple of other schools install that as well. And then you have these spread offenses, but some, like Ohio State, is actually really a power spread. And when Michigan goes into that spread, they're more of a power spread. Bill O'Brien will throw it around, but Zach Zwinak ran for 1,000 yards in 8.5 games last year, so it's not like they're going to this old school spread, the air raid way back in the day, Don Coryell type offense. I mean, these schools are spreading you out, and so they're using their dynamic playmakers more often. But the Big Ten, I think, at the core, still holds a little bit of that. If you want to play in between the trenches, we're going to beat you at that game, too.
They still have Abdullah. They still have Zach Zwinak.
Exactly.
James White or Melvin Gordon, yeah, they can get to the edge, but they'll still go between the tackles. And Fitz Toussaint is one of those guys I don't think maybe people don't talk enough about. Fitz Toussaint is quite a back. I mean, he's really a good player.
Yet he's getting healthy again. I mean, I think there was a lot of concern in that first week. You have a gruesome injury like that. You come back. Are you 100%? Can you take those hits? And do you have any fear? And I did not see any fear in Fitz Toussaint in week one. Didn't have a light him up game, but I think that was the most important thing for the Michigan coaching staff. They didn't see any fear. They now know he's going to attack 2013 like he did pre-injury in 2012.
Rick, BTN talks about everything on a national scale. That's why, certain writers have been brought in now to be a part of what's going on. For you to first and foremost concentrate on 12 and what will eventually be 14 schools, what kind of advantages do you have because you do have that concentration and then can branch out nationally?
Well, I think, Steve, at the heart, we are all sports fans. I mean, we obviously have ties to the Big Ten, and we are a lot closer to these programs because we have personal relationships with coaches, ADs, radio personalities, and voices of teams in State College, for example. But the fact of the matter is, at the heart of it, we are all sports fans. So while we focus on the Big Ten, we are watching games across the country. I mean, I'll be in Ohio State this weekend watching the San Diego State-Ohio State game for as long as that's a game, which shouldn't be too long. But then I'm going to go watch the Michigan-Notre Dame game, and while that's in commercial, I'm going to be flipping back and forth to see what else is happening across the country. And I know that Mike Hall and Dave Revson and all our analysts are doing the exact same. So it's a huge advantage for us to get to talk about the Big Ten and having the relationships that we have. But we do have to branch out. We're all knowledgeable about that because when it comes down to it, we just love college football, and we want to watch as much of it as we can.
No question about that, which then will bring to a national story. Everyone has discussed Johnny Manziel ad nauseum. So let's have fun and discuss Johnny Manziel ad nauseum. I mean, when you watch how he's conducted himself and also watched how Texas A&M has conducted itself, what has run through your mind about both him and the school and the coaching staff?
Well, I'll start with Manziel, and here's my issue. If you have fame thrust upon you and you do not embrace fame, then I understand your claim for some privacy and to leave, get left alone. If, however, you have fame thrust upon you and you not only accept it, but you bask in it, you flourish, and you also expand it, then you deserve everything that you get. So my take right now on Johnny Manziel is, I know you didn't ask for this at the start, but when you got it, boy, did you use it. And you use it to your advantage, and you send it out to your tens of thousands of Twitter followers that you're having weekends with rappers and winning money at casinos. And when you do that, that's when you've given up your right to the kind of privacy that you want. Now, his behavior on the field is not going to change. If he didn't learn anything from that suspension and from the national criticism that he received, and he makes the autograph gesture to the Rice player last week, okay, do that against Alabama. Do that against LSU. Don't do it against a team that you're way better than. I don't understand how at this point he hasn't learned his lesson. And then you look at a picture of Texas A&M president giving the fingers together rubbing money sign that Johnny Manziel gave the other day, the president of the university doing this, and then you understand why he's still acting like that.
Exactly. And I think Kevin Sumlin's been thrust into really almost an impossible position of trying to talk about a situation but trying to support his player at the same time. And the line is too fine, and yet he's trying, but it's not always going to work.
And what's Sumlin going to do, Steve? I mean, this is his job, okay? Johnny Manziel a year ago was the best football player in the nation. You can't bench this kid and then go and lose eight games. Because then you're out on your rear looking for a new job. So he does. He is in a very tough situation where he's trying to balance the betterment of his team with what he probably believes morally is right versus wrong. And to walk that line as a college football coach and still try to win enough football games to keep your job, I do not envy Kevin Sumlin right now.
Yet here's the other part. The other part is this. You had just mentioned in a previous answer, Rick, that you, me, and many of the eyeballs in the nation are going to watch Notre Dame, Michigan. How many eyeballs watch Alabama against Johnny Football? Not Alabama, Texas A&M, but Alabama, Johnny Football a week from now.
Yeah, that's a great point, Stephen. Listen, hey, are we part of the problem as the media? We probably are. Because now we won't do this much on the Big Ten Network, but you know every other sports outlet across the country is going to bump up that game as Johnny Manziel versus Alabama, not Texas A&M. So is it part of the problem? Of course it is, but it wouldn't be broadcast that way if the public didn't want to hear it.
What are the themes you took out of the opening Big Ten weekend of non-conference games, Rick, that then can roll over into this week you'll examine?
You know what, Steve? It's funny. What I took away is that 2013 looks a lot like 2012. I mean, I saw Ohio State against an inferior opponent go into a lull of intensity. We saw that a couple of times in the non-conference last year. I saw Michigan State with a defense that looks like one of the nation's best and an offense that has no idea what it's doing. We saw a lot of that last year. I saw Nebraska offensively dominate and defensively confuse everybody that's watching and wondering where the black shirts went. I saw nobody believing in Penn State and Penn State going out and winning a football game, this time with a freshman quarterback instead of the experienced Matt McGloin. So it's really funny. I saw so much of 2012 in the beginning of 2013, and I actually think a lot of that's going to continue, at least throughout the non-conference.
And now they roll into this particular weekend. Down the road, the Big Ten would like to see fewer, if no FCS opponents. For example,
sure.
Indiana played Indiana State to open up. I think Indiana State plays Purdue this weekend. Indiana State's almost done with their tour. The importance that the Big Ten wants to promote that kind of competition in non-conference.
Yeah, well, I think that was the big move as well toward nine conference games. I know part of that was obviously dominated by the fact that we're going to have two new members next season as well. But wouldn't you rather play, even if it's a down Big Ten opponent, wouldn't you rather play a Big Ten opponent as that extra game as opposed to Wisconsin this week playing Tennessee Tech? I mean, they had three guys over 100 yards last week, did the Badgers, and there's a good chance those same three guys will go over 100 yards against Tennessee Tech as well. Nothing against Gary Anderson. He didn't schedule that game, but the fans of Camp Randall are going to be bored by the third quarter. So I think it is very important, and I think in the new college football playoff system, you're going to be rewarded for playing teams with that strength of schedule. These FCS teams are no longer going to be a benefit. Now, those FCS teams are going to suffer a little bit, Steve, because as you well know, they get a nice paycheck for coming and playing these games. So it will be a very fine line for the NCAA to walk, but I think these FBS schools and the Big Ten in particular, you're going to stop seeing these games in the future, and even if they schedule a less talented FBS team, that's going to be much more beneficial for not only the team, but for the fan base as well and the prices that they pay for the tickets.
And there's none of that, Rick. I think you bring up a great point. I think you're going to see more of a basketball mentality and not
exactly
scheduling because you and I talk RPI all the time in the wintertime. That's going to enter into the college football playoff.
Exactly. And what does Tennessee Tech do for you? You beat them 100-0, it does absolutely nothing for you. But you beat a Purdue team who's down, but who later in the year goes ahead and nearly beats Ohio State. What if they do pull off that upset and that's a win on your record from earlier in the year? You're one step closer to being one of those four teams who are in the running for the national championship.
Big Ten stadiums by Big Ten Edict will play replays of play of every play up there, including the ones being reviewed. For the stadium experience and for the fan experience, how do you view the importance of that?
I think it's great. Listen, in today's world of more and more information, please, I think that Jim Delaney and the Big Ten deserve a big pat on the back for this. And this was stuck in old school days, that 75% was the slowest that you could go in terms of the actual speed of the play. You could only slow it down by one quarter. You could only show it once. You could only show that previous play. I think this is great. Scoreboard operator is going to get a little bit more work for the money that they're going to be making, but the fans are actually going to get to see exactly what happened on the field because, hey, unless you have those great seats that we have up in the press box, Steve, there's a lot of fans that can't see exactly what happened. Take you back a couple of years. I was at Spartan Stadium against Wisconsin, Michigan State, the tipped pass that Keith Nichol caught. Could you imagine what that stadium would have been like in the 2 or 3 minutes it took the referees to make that decision while they were watching the super slow-mo replay of Keith Nichol crossing the goal line? It would have been insanity. It would have been a great scene for college football.
And here's the other part. You'll love this little anecdote here. Whenever they have a replay, which previously had not been shown on the stadium board, there's a couple thousand fans below the broadcast booth. Rick, they always turn around and they look at Jack Hamm and me as we look at the replay, and then we have to do the gladiator thumbs up, thumbs down thing to let them know what the deal is.
Listen, if I know anybody that could pull off the Russell Crowe impersonation, it's you, my friend.
Rick, I know you, like me, are a big hockey fan.
Sure.
The excitement that you feel, even though we're in the stages of college football, in 6 weeks hockey season begins, to have a Big Ten hockey conference, Rick, what does that, the brand, the Big Ten, what does that mean to college hockey?
Well, I've been trying to talk to everybody around here about hockey, and nobody wants to listen quite yet. We have Hockey Media Day coming up less than 2 weeks. I'll be in St. Paul, Minnesota for that, chatting with all the Big Ten teams, including Coach Godowski and Tommy Olchek and a couple other guys from Penn State as they get ready. On October 11th, the first official Big Ten hockey game that we ever broadcast here on BTN involving a Big Ten Conference hockey team will be the first game that Penn State plays at Pagoula against Army. And, I mean, what a way to join a conference and what a way to start a conference. I mean, an $88 million gift creating one of the most beautiful arenas in all of college hockey, and that's how we're going to kick it off that night. We also have our hockey preview show. And I look at some of these rosters. I mean, Minnesota is absolutely loaded. We already have a national championship contender for Big Ten hockey. Yeah, I could keep going forever. I mean, people around here are like, you realize you're going to Columbus for football this weekend, and I do, but it is a water watershed moment for college hockey, this first year of Big Ten hockey. I'm so excited that we're going to be a part of it.
Well, you know, my friend, how much I enjoy these conversations very, very much. Thanks so much for carving out a little bit of time for us on a Friday.
All right, my pleasure, Steve. Enjoy this weekend.
Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Network. Rick does a great – he doesn't just do a good job. Rick does a great job. This is a rock-solid on-air talent that any network would be thrilled to have. Intelligent, well-versed.
Certainly enthusiastic. Oh, my goodness.
And top, well, but Rick is top flight. He's top flight, Bob.
He is.
Let's take a break. Let's take a break. Buhner and her are both actually broadcasting live from the Pickle Bar as we speak. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. It is the first home football game of the season. I have two words for you. Stock up. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. News Radio 1070 WKOK. Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Buhner is in the house again.
Big
good news there.
Yeah, big weekend, Steve. We've got baseball. We've got football, college, high school, and pro. Kevin is in seventh heaven after last night's Broncos romp over the Baltimore Ravens. His fantasy league quarterback only threw seven touchdowns last night.
Yeah, there's a little discussion now amongst the league owners that they think there's some sort of a violation that I still have Peyton Manning on my roster. I said, well, you know, I wasn't as dumb as the Colts were. I decided to keep him when things got questionable.
Well, you know, but that's one of the amazing things about the NFL and the business of the NFL is that it is a very impersonal business. Indianapolis, which really floated as a franchise for years since moving from Baltimore, except for maybe a good Jim Harbaugh year where they got to the AFC Championship loss of the Steelers, maybe a couple of Eric Dickerson years, really were nondescript. The only thing they were noted for was moving from Baltimore in the middle of the night. This guy came in and put them on the map in terms of quality and class. And it didn't take long for them after he got hurt to cut him. It is an impersonal business, and I don't care if you are Peyton Manning or a player of lesser note. In the end, they still treated him like garbage and tossed him to the curb.
He's got a few more touchdown passes in his repertoire, that's for sure.
A thoroughly brilliant performance with seven last night. It hasn't been done since Joe Capp back in 1969 with the Vikings.
44 years and counting.
But the old saying is, if Joe Capp can do it, why can't Peyton Manning? I mean, Joe Capp.
Hey, this is Damon.